vessels of honor and people that are vessels of dishonor. So even as a child of God, you can live your life in a way that it brings honor to God, or as a believer, you can live your life in a way that you dishonor Him, you know, by the choices and decisions that you make, and, you know, and how you decide to govern your life, the values that you embrace, you know, make a real difference. And so, you know, in my search of the scriptures, you know, I found at least three kinds of people that God's looking for. Amen. And I shared two things with you. I shared two kinds of people God's looking for, because the Bible literally says He's searching for these type of people. And so I want to be the kind of person that God's looking for. I want to satisfy His desire. Amen. I want to be useful in the kingdom, because Jesus is looking for fruitfulness out of all of His children. Amen. You know, John chapter 15 talks about that, how He said, I am the true vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me will bring forth fruit. He that abides not in me is cast forth as a branch and is withered. So we don't want to be those that wither on the vine. We want to be those that bring forth fruit. We want to be those that are planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in our season. Amen. So the word rare means highly esteemed because of infrequency or uncommonness. Rare means valuable or choice. So when we talk about rare people, we're talking about people that God highly esteems because they have consecrated themselves to the degree that they don't fit into the common mold. You know, there are certain qualities and characteristics that you can embrace and allow the Holy Spirit to develop in you that would make you uncommon. And so I call it rare people, because there's just not a lot of people that really want to go on and let God maximize His power in them. You know, some people will get into a mold where they just are comfortable and they get in a comfort zone, and they're not willing to be stretched, and they're not willing to go the extra mile because everything looks good. You know, you get saved, your life gets better. Amen. But it can get better and 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 better. But some people just settle for good. Amen. Well, my life is good, and they think, well, I got a good life. You know, I'm blessed. Everything is good. But they're not willing to commit beyond that, to go to a place called better. Amen. And so I talked to you last week about the pure in heart. God is looking for the pure in heart. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. Those are people that have the right motive in wanting to serve God. They are pure in their heart, in their motive, and they really want God to use them, and they are willing to pay the price for God to use them. I mean, you know, it's going to cost you something to pay the price. God put a man in my life a few months after I got saved, and so this man sent me a book through the mail, and then every now and then I would call him, and every time he'd have a word from God for me. And every word that he gave me, this was included in it. It cost. And I took hold of that and said, you know what? It's going to cost me something to be sold out for Jesus. It's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me my talent. And it's going to cost me even some money, my treasure. Amen. It just costs to obey God, because, you know, there's times when people are wanting to do certain things and God got you in a corner praying. Amen. Or He's got you going to church where everybody else going somewhere, you know, having a good time. You know, so it does cost. It does cost for you to obey God. Second kind of person that we talked about was true worshipers. And Jesus talked about that. He said the Father is looking for true worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers, people that will worship him in spirit and in truth, in sincerity. They have no hypocrisy in them at all. They genuinely love God. And when they say praise the Lord, it comes from their heart. When they say, Jesus, I love you, it comes from the inside. When they say, Lord, I worship you and I need you, it comes from the deepest part of them. That's a true worshiper, a genuine worshiper, somebody that genuinely loves God and wants to obey God and wants to do God's will. Amen. And so I'm going to talk to you about the third kind of person that God is looking for, and it is the faithful. Amen. So we have the pure in heart, the true worshiper, and the faithful. Now, I know that those are three characteristics or qualities that God is developing in all of us if we let him. Amen. If you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, he will remove the impurity from your motives. Amen. He'll cause you to love God genuinely. The way when you worship him and it's for real. You're not just going through the motions. You're not just raising your hand and, you know, just going through the motion. You're not just saying a lot of stuff and your heart not connected. When the Holy Spirit really is working in you, let him work. He'll make a true worship out of you. Amen. He'll cause your motives to be pure, and he'll certainly develop in you a faithful spirit. Amen. If you listen to the Holy Ghost, everything he's doing in you is working in you to make you more and more faithful. Because God has to have faithful people for the kingdom of God to function. The kingdom does not function at its highest capacity or at its peak efficiency if it doesn't have faithful people. And when we describe faithful people, we're talking about people that are trustworthy, people that are honest, people that are dependable, people that are loyal. The kingdom of God requires that. And one of the reasons why it's a requirement, because God is faithful. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God is faithful. Amen. And so he's looking for that in his children. If we are children of God, then we should possess the same characteristics and qualities that God himself has. Amen. All right. Verse number 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see, God is faithful. And another place in scripture says that God is faithful, that he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. Amen. So God is a faithful God. Say that. God is a faithful God. When I say God is faithful, what I mean is this. God is trustworthy. He's worthy of trust. God is honest. He never tells a lie. Amen. He don't sugarcoat anything. He have no hidden agendas or motives. He's dependable. You can depend on him. He's reliable. He can be counted on in trouble. He never changes. He is faithful. He is the faithful God. Amen. The trustworthy God, the true God. And we see that Jesus is the same way. He's the exact same way. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the faithful high priest. He is our faithful high priest. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. So Jesus was appointed by God to be the Savior of the world. And the Bible says that Jesus was faithful to the appointment that God gave him. And he is our faithful high priest. I thank God that Jesus is faithful. And because of that, he's looking for people that are also faithful. And when God starts working in you, when you let him have his way, then he will work in you faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is a rare quality because it has to be developed in you. And you can teach your children faithfulness. You can teach people to be dependable and loyal and, you know, and doing the right thing. But Proverbs 26 says, many a man proclaims his own loving kindness and goodness, but a faithful man who can find. So that just tells me that You got to look high and low sometimes to find somebody that's trustworthy, that's loyal, that's dependable, reliable, that's worthy of trust. I'm going to tell you, sometimes they're hard to find. And then in Psalm 12:1 says, "Help, Lord, for principled and godly people are here no more. Faithfulness and the faithful vanish from among the sons of men." So here the psalmist saying, "Help me, Jesus. Help, Lord." He said, "It seemed like the faithful have vanished from off the face of the earth." So, you know, we have so many people now that are not learning to be faithful, that they're not trustworthy, they're not dependable, they're not loyal, they're not reliable, and they have no faithfulness, which means you really can't depend on them. The Bible says that faithful, that confidence, having trust, having faith in an unfaithful man in times of trouble is like having a foot out of joint or a broken tooth. It's pretty painful. So you can't put confidence or have confidence in people that are not faithful. In other words, don't entrust things that are valuable to you to people that are not faithful.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is not the first time that your back has been against the wall. But you got to remember that the same God that brought you out the last time, He can do it again. God, would you give us an encore?
God, I have been here before.
Yeah.
When it felt like I couldn't take life anymore.
Dealing with so much. Hang on.
Feels like I cannot last through this.
So Father,
so won't you
fix it.
Fix it like you did before, your God. You're the God of the encore, God.
I know I can count on you.
I can count on you, your God.
I need your help today.
Like I did before, your God.
Father, right now, I need you to. That's what I'm asking. For you to come back to the stage of my life and do what you did last time. I know you can, because this is not the first time.
The first time that I've been afraid.
Sitting here alone. Again, can't believe I fell for it.
But I refuse to stay right here.
Can't live like this.
And live a life that's full of
fear. I'm calling for you.
God, I need you now.
Tried my friends, but
only you can lead me out of this.
So God, won't you fix it?
Fix it like
before. You're the God of the encore. You said in your word that
I can count on you, your God.
I'm calling for before you.
Like I did before your love.
God's a